97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Yeah, and I'm already behind schedule. Let's welcome in Congressman Bob Ondra to talk about a variety of issues. Happy New Year, Bob. How are you?
Great. Happy New Year, Mark.
You are in Washington, right? You're not in the district right now.
That's right. We came back on Monday. On Tuesday, we went to the Trump Kennedy Center and heard President Trump talk to us about what's ahead for 2026.
Yeah. So what did you think of that? I watched quite a bit of it. He was doing, you know, he likes to call it weaving, and he was weaving quite a bit. And I think my favorite part, this ended up being my audio cut of the day when he was talking about Melania not liking his dancing. But obviously the president was also trying to send a message to Republicans about the importance of the midterms and what needs to be done in this coming year legislatively.
Well, that's for sure. Yeah, it's not lost on us that it's extremely important that we maintain the Republican majority in the U.S. House in the midterms. Otherwise, and I think the president's right about this, I serve on the Judiciary Committee. I think I'll be listening to Jasmine Crockett and Jamie Raskin droning on about how Trump needs to be impeached. So, yes, the American people elected President Trump for a four-year term, and we fully intend for him to have a four-year term.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on in the news cycle right now, so let me get your thoughts on a couple of things. And I don't know, have you had a chance to monitor what's going on in Minneapolis or see the video of this shooting today yet, Congressman?
Oh, I did not see today. I'm monitoring what's going on in Minnesota with the fraud, but no, I did not see anything about the shooting.
Well, that's going to be a big deal. You'll see what happened. There was an ICE agent. They were trying to conduct an operation. There was a woman that refused, you know, orders to get out of her car, and she accelerated. And, you know, depending on your view of the situation, she was either trying to hit the officer, he responded with gunfire, and she was killed. So the concern there is, you know, amongst all of this other stuff that's going on in Minneapolis with the fraud, with the Somali community, that unfortunately the way that Jacob Frey, the mayor of Minneapolis, and Tim Walz, the goofball governor, have inflamed this situation, it would not surprise me at all if buildings burned in Minneapolis tonight, unfortunately, Bob, like they did here in Ferguson.
Yeah, no, this is really sad. I mean, to see the anti-law enforcement, sentiment being fomented by far too many, not all, but far too many Democrats, this default position that somehow ICE agents, that Border Patrol agents are jackbooted thugs and they need to be resisted at every turn. This kind of rhetoric has consequences. And, you know, what makes people think they can assault police officers? Look, I said this about, you know, Michael Brown in Ferguson back in 2015. What makes people think that they can assault police officers and things are going to go well for them? But no, I haven't seen any details on that. But I wish the Democrats for once would turn down the rhetoric.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, that's the problem.
Not doing it.
When you hear this the rest of the afternoon and evening, you'll find that they are inflaming the rhetoric. And Jacob Frey in particular is saying, you know, ICE agents, get the F out, was one of the quotes from earlier today. On the Nicolas Maduro capture, your thoughts on that? That caught a lot of people maybe off guard on Saturday morning. The president even joked a little bit. Maybe it was today when Carolyn said during the briefing, we kept you kind of busy during the break, didn't we?
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, yes. I mean, it caught a lot of us by surprise. Now, President Trump gave Nicolas Maduro chances to back down from his, you know, narco trafficking, from his close alliance with some of the worst actors in the world, the Chinese, the Russians, the Iranians, and even Hezbollah. But no, the way it turned out, an invasion taking to custody an indicted narco trafficker, I did not see that coming. But I think we are a safer hemisphere because of it.
So what are your thoughts on, you know, because this is very complicated in many different ways, geopolitically and otherwise, but on the oil issue and the tanker is being seized right now. You know, obviously the folks who have TDS and the folks who don't like President Trump are trying to make this all about oil at this point. I think there are very good reasons to secure the Western Hemisphere in this way. And let's face it, most of the world is celebrating the removal of this guy. Most importantly, the people who live in Venezuela and those here in this country who had to flee the country. But then when you start to focus on the oil, the narrative becomes, oh, it's all about the oil, just like the Middle East.
Right, right. Well, of course, you know, there are many sources of oil in the country, including in the world, including the United States, other than Venezuela. So certainly the fact that this, you know, what had become under Nicolas Maduro a narco-trafficking state, allied with China, allied with Iran, allied with Russia, the fact that that country also has more reserves of oil than any other nation in the world, that's significant. That's kind of a big deal. But, you know, the Iranians putting putting drones that with a 2,000 kilometer range that could reach southern Florida in Venezuela, that's of concern, too. Russian and Cuban military. Yeah, you know, just a little thing, you know, Russian and Cuban military advisors in Venezuela are of concern, you know, and the fact that China already controls 91% of the very strategically important rare earth minerals in the world, and then being in our hemisphere trying to control those being produced by Venezuela, that's of concern. So there were a lot of reasons. You know, at the end of the day, I don't know that it was any one reason, but there's no question that Maduro was facilitating the biggest narco-trafficking operation in the world, and really needed to be held accountable.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, you know,
he's getting due process. Maduro, he's getting his due process, right?
He's getting his day in court. You know, Marco. You know, I think a lot of people forget that he was indicted in the year 2000, and there was a $25 million reward for the capture of Nicolas Maduro. That was doubled to $50 million under Joe Biden. A year ago, Chuck Schumer was criticizing President Trump for not doing anything about Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela. Well, Donald Trump did something, and now Chuck Schumer said, you know, whatever Trump does is bad. So I'm concerned about what comes next. We had an extensive briefing by the Secretary of State and others on that subject today. But I think Maduro being gone is definitely a positive.
What is there anything you can share from that meeting with the Secretary of State as far as what does happen next? Because that's obviously an important question.
Yeah. The Secretary of State, I mean, spoke of first of all stabilization, and then moving on to reconciliation and restoration, with ultimately the goal being free and fair elections, transition to power. But the feeling is that this is not it's not an Iraq type situation where we're dealing with a lot of guerrilla groups and so forth. We are dealing with a nation state over which we have a tremendous amount of leverage because of our control, for instance, over these oil shipments. I do not trust the vice president of Venezuela, Ms. Rodriguez, any farther than I can throw her. But at this point, the administration feels that we have enough leverage over her and over that regime that we can make sure the right things, happen moving forward. And first and foremost, ending the prosecution of political enemies, but also, you know, beginning to restore something approaching a normal economy and a functioning democracy in that country.
Congressman Bob Onder, always great to have you on. One final question, just briefly. How are we going to avoid another government shutdown here in a few weeks? Any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, so we will very likely in the next couple of days vote on on three more budget bills. There are 12 budget bills. So far we've passed three as part of the reopening of the government after the Schumer shutdown. We will be voting on, and I believe passing, three more this week. The appropriations committees in the House have actually passed all 12. But I do have considerable fear, Mark, that the Democrats feel that that shutdowns give them leverage and somehow opposing Republicans and President Trump are somehow good for them politically. I hope saner heads prevail in the Democrat caucus. But
don't count on it. Don't count on it. That would be my prediction. Yeah. Well, Bob, again, Happy New Year. Thanks for jumping on here this afternoon, and we'll talk soon. Thank you very much.
Get more at 971talk.com.